Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, he has a lot of thoughts on Irma, but mostly about how people were hanging plywood over their windows the wrong way. Adam Carolla.
You always put the label out in case the inspector comes by. You always want the stamp side out. CDX, good one side. Put that side out.
We cut
always
to spark. Cut to Hurricane Irma. I know it's an awkward time, but I am the inspector.
Couldn't help but notice.
It is Wednesday.
And the nailing schedule's all off on that sheer wall. Get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for talking about the show. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
What are you, a dumb guy?
All right. I have some thoughts, many thoughts. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game this time for sure. Here's a thought. Gina, I need you to give me the female version of this.
All right.
For a dude to look good in this, what I'm going to describe, you have to be really handsome.
Okay.
Any automotive or motorcycle crash helmet with no visor and no anything, just a basic helmet that you just pull on with no tchotchkes. I don't know why. The visor will add a lot. A guy has to be stunningly handsome to look like a six with that on.
Football helmet without the face mask is what you're kind of describing.
It's basically that. But for some of it's even worse if you just the basic crash helmet, no face guard, no chin strap, no visor, no anything. You have to be stunningly handsome to be a 6.5 or 7 with that thing on. Now, I don't know why. You put the visor on or you put him in a full face, and you just see the eyes or whatever it is, he gets handsome. Guys look immediately dorky.
Yeah, like a Lego hat.
And just the Lego hat.
Well done.
Yeah. Now, if you then took that same person that same male, and put him in nothing but short denim cutoffs, you have to be like an 11 to come across as a 6.5. Like,
yeah,
you have to be.
That's a horrible look.
You're setting yourself back.
There's nobody. If you took a dude who you thought was like fairly attractive, you had him at about a 7.5 or 8, and you stripped him down and you just put him in the cutoff shorts and the helmet, he'd be unfuckable, like, immediately. He'd be a sub 1.
100%
immediately.
Correct.
Gosling pulls up on the hog with the helmet and the shorts, like, yeah.
I swear to God, Ryan Gosling on a hog with those shorts and that helmet, most chicks would go, keep riding there, bucko.
Maybe 3 or 4 more drinks in.
Riding in the sun. Now, I think I do have the female version of that. It's attached to the head, and I'm going to give you a full demonstration of it because I know for a fact I'm not good looking enough to pull it off. Ready? I have to take my headphones off of this. Female version is a low ponytail.
Low ponytail.
Yeah, I'm putting it the base of my neck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Horrible. Hollywood with fire, right?
Give me a trash can.
That's
I got to vomit.
About.
Only after
the
I'm done.
Low. So the high ponytail.
It gives you lift. It kind of pulls your, gives you a little facelift. It gives you height.
Gary, please find a picture of Margot Robbie with a low ponytail. And watch us run for the hills.
You are going to exactly make my point when you see how hot people can pull off a low ponytail. I can't.
Interesting. Yeah. So what we're not saying you're not hot. We're just saying if
I'm not
you
hot
are,
enough
don't
to,
finish you can't. You can't overcome this obstacle.
Yeah. Absolutely correct.
Like there's just no guy good looking enough to overcome. Oh, there's a handful of guys, but it's really hard to overcome the helmet with no visor, no anything.
Correct.
Helmet and the cut off short shorts. Mm. Yeah. I don't know why.
I think it's
I had that thought.
Back to Gina's hair thing. I do think for the female equivalent of what you're talking about is like when girls cut their hair ridiculously short.
That's a high ponytail.
That's a high ponytail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ridiculously short, like shaved head almost, like, you know, a G.I. Jane or like Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta. You're like, that's still a good looking woman, but we're talking reduced by half, you know, at least.
Right. But so if she starts
there
as
it is.
If she starts
11 and a half.
Right. But if she started at a 7, she'd be down to a 2.
Yeah.
Well, and you've heard the word normcore before, right?
No.
Okay, so that's basically, Brian,
I've heard it.
Huge Norm McDonald's army, like huge fans.
Mega George Wendt fans. Yes.
Stick up both fists. Normcore.
Normcore.
It's like models and stuff do this, but basically people who are so hot, they wear normal stuff. Normcore. Big old puffy jean jackets, oversized Tigger sweatshirts because they're so hot and they're so hipster that they make that stuff look cool.
Mm-hmm.
Where the rest of us can't do
they're
it.
They're just like us.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
All right, so I don't know why that was a thought I had.
It's hot. People are buzzing around in their
Cross
jorts.
Cross that off the buck's lip.
Yep. The other thing I was thinking about as I was watching a fight over the weekend, which is, two things. One is technology. Like, I picture what's going on the sidelines of an NFL game. And what was going on the sidelines, what goes on the sidelines of an NFL game now is you have all these like cooling chairs and cooling fans, these mister things blowing cold air at everybody. I think the seat itself is not a bench anymore. It's contoured and it's cooled or it's warmed or it's whatever. Guys are getting all sorts of electrolytes put into them.
Yep.
And then other guys are looking at tablets with like defensive coordinators and this, that, and the other. Now they have these like safe spaces they can go to and get themselves checked out and zip the thing down and have privacy and stuff like that. And then I think about the sidelines in the 50s and in the 60s of the NFL, guys smoking, other guys just standing there beating their wives, other guys eating pomade.
Big flak jackets and big overcoats. And if the other team came onto your sidelines, beat him down. Just throw a kick.
But like, they were just standing there on the sideline, like smoking and like That's eating awesome. Brisket or something. Like, there was no electrolytes or replenishing or
warming
IVs
chairs.
Or warming chairs or cooling anything. Like, if it was hot, it was just hot. I didn't think there was an umbrella. It was just, they just sat on a pine bench and baked in the sun.
If it rained, it rained. And that, you soak them up.
That was it. And I thought, well, they've come a long way. They've come a long way. And then I thought, sports in general, you know, just the technology of sports has come a long way. And the science of sports has come a long way. And then I was sitting in my house, and it's 2017. It's last weekend, and I'm watching a fight. And in between rounds, they have a Ziploc bag with half-melted ice, and they're putting it on the back of the guy's neck. And I thought, in boxing, the Ziploc bag is the biggest breakthrough they've had in terms of technology. Like, if that was Rocky Graziano and it was 1953, there'd be another kind of bag with ice in it. But now, not with a Ziploc.
Yeah.
But it'd be the exact same thing.
Cheesecloth.
One guy waving a towel in front of the other guy. Like, not even the electric fan. Like, every single makeup artist I've ever been to in this town has the little, like, One guy's waving a towel. The other guy's got the Ziploc, and he's pushing it on there. That's
pretty primitive.
Like, they're sitting on the same wooden chair, the same stool. No, nothing ergonomic about it.
What's the explanation? Why is boxing
men
not kept
men
up with... The money's the same.
It's a weird thing. Boxing is such a old school throwback, whatever. Everybody involved with it has that mentality. Now, obviously, it's not going to make a huge difference what sack the ice is in, but it's just funny that there isn't a sack for boxers and their ice. There's a Ziploc bag that formerly had a sandwich in it, and now it has ice in it.
And it may have a sandwich in it again after the fight.
When Tyson got knocked out by Buster Douglas in Tokyo, they were taking rubber gloves and just like putting ice in the rubber glove.
Wasn't it an actual condom? I heard it was a prophylactic. Is that apocryphal? I heard they put it like ice in like
they
a condom.
They don't use condoms.
No, because they didn't bring...
I mean, after the fight.
That's true.
No, it was not a condom.
Okay, I heard it was.
It was a... Well...
Because they didn't bring the end swell. They didn't bring the thing you're supposed to use to put the...
The metal
that
they freeze. No, it was just a rubber glove that they were doing this. But that was when he was supposed to win. But even now, in 2017, they're standing there. The guy sits on a wooden chair, like like a little stool. That stool, I do not believe, has changed since the word stool was invented. Like not bar stool and not recliner, not throne, but like that was the very first, the prototype for the very
three
first
legs.
Stool was that stool. He sits on that stool. The other guy takes a medium-sized towel and he waves it in the other guy's general direction. The other guy takes the Ziploc with the ice cubes on it and sort of puts it where his head meets his shoulders, but it's unclear why that's the perfect spot for it, but there it is. And then the other guy stands next to him and goes, come on, you're not punching enough. You need to punch more. Now, come on, let's do what we practice. Punch more. And then they push him out. And I thought, I don't think any of this has changed at all. Since Gentleman Jim Corbett was like fighting a kangaroo, or since, you know, Johnson, Jim, was it
Jack
Jim?
Johnson?
Since Jack Johnson, like turn of the century, black heavyweight, I think his corner looked exactly the same as the corner I saw in 2017.
It sounds like what you're describing in Cinderella Man, which is, you know, back in the Depression, 1930 or whatever it was.
So there's nothing going on. The biggest innovation is the Ziploc bag. That's the breakthrough in boxing. The Ziploc.
Here we are.
Wow.
All right, so I found that to be interesting. Also, I have a thought. A lot of fighters, and we need interpreters now, which is fine. I get it. They interview the guy after the fight. He needs the interpreter. The problem with the dude from the, I think it was the Filipino guy who won the fight. Yeah, rejoice, Max Zapata, one of your own. Beat Chocolatito. And they're interviewing the guy, and the problem is the interpreter, a little bit shorty, a little bit pudgy, and doesn't really look like he could punch his way out of a paper bag. Okay. Now, when they talk to the fighter, and they say to the fighter, who's next? He says in his native tongue, bring them, I'll knock their heads off, nobody can stop me. I'm a monster in the ring. Then they cut to the 4 foot nothing guys, a little bit pudgy and maybe struggling with his sexuality. And he says, I'll take on anyone. I'm a monster in the ring. You line them up, I'll decapitate them. They go back, but it's like, I don't want that coming from this guy. I say these interpreters got to start working out. Yep. We got to get them a little bit bigger because ultimately they threaten, you know, and they go, a lot of judges saw it the other way. Would you take a rematch? I'll take a rematch anytime, anywhere. I'll fight De Niro in a phone booth. Bring him on. And then they go to the interpreter and it's like, I'll take him anytime, anywhere. We could fight in a phone booth. Bring him on. Yeah. And it's like, doesn't sound right.
Yeah, the words, the music isn't there.
Now, of course, I was pissed. Marley Matlin.
Not since Marley Matlin was asked about her dress on Dancing with the Stars.
Marley Matlin has a male interpreter, and they ask him, you know, it's like,
who are you
Marley's
wearing?
Like, I feel so beautiful. I feel like Cinderella at the ball in this dress, but now it's a dude.
Is it truly, Marley, is it truly, you ask for more sequins on the dress?
Never enough sequins. You can never have enough. A girl never has enough sequins. And it's, look, you may think I'm a douche, but it bumps you. The same way,
the
same way when I used to go out on auditions and every single woman who, every single casting agent is a 56-year-old woman, except for, this is your buddy. And he's just taken shrapnel, and he's mortally wounded, and you know this is going to be the last conversation you have with him. It's like, hey, buddy. And it's like, tell Connie when you get home that I loved her. And it's like, you're doing this thing with one of your mom's friends, and it feels weird.
Oh, my God. I can't feel my leg.
I wish they would do it. I think we have a little clip of this guy. I've seen it in many fights, but I was watching it last weekend. Hold on, what's he saying, Max Pat?
I can fight whoever. I'm not scared of anyone. Oh. I'll fight whoever.
Well, on 4 months training, if that's the difference, ooh, that's quite a difference. Jim?
All right, thank you, Max Kellerman.
Wow.
We just need guys that are built, take their shirt off, you know what I mean?
Look the part.
Lather up a little bit, look the part, and then, you know, when you're saying you'll fight anyone, that guy didn't seem like he'd fight anyone.
No, he looked like
anywhere.
He did taxes.
Yeah. But it's funny, you're never going to find the right dude because that guy, who the hell speaks, he's fluent Filipino,
Tagalog.
Fluent in English. Is it Filipino? What is it?
Tagalog, right?
Are we calling it? What do I call it, Max Pana?
Tagalog. Yeah.
Tagalog. See, you're smart. Tagalog. Who's going to be fluent in both those and like have a huge upper body? You know what I mean? And seem tough. So that's not the same dude.
Got to get Chris in there.
All right. So that was the other thing I was thinking about with the fights.
You just mentioned the auditions you used to hate, where you used to read to the dispassionate person who wasn't fit for the thing. Gary, I just sent you a video, if you can throw it up there. You guys remember the audition scene from True Romance where Michael Rapaport went in and he was like auditioning for T.J. Hooker?
Oh, I forgot about that.
He goes in and he's like doing this action thing where he's on the hood of the car. Get him off the car. If you can pull it up there, Gary. I don't know if I sent it to you quick enough.
We'll tease it. We'll find it in 1 second. First, underrated. I don't know if it's underrated, but
it is.
Underappreciated or underplayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, underplayed.
They could pop it up on cable every once in a while. That's not so often. All right, first I'll tell you about Blue Aprons, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service. Less than $10 a meal. New recipes created each week. And are not repeated within a year. Takes 40 minutes or less. We love this. I hand them off to Olga. Olga makes it just like it. It's like the glossy picture they give you. And then, like I said, my little tip is when you find something you really love, just put that thing in the drawer. Keep that in your gin rummy hand of recipes over there. Upcoming meals, summer vegetables and egg paninis, soy glazed pork and rice cakes, garlic butter, shrimp and corn. Delivery options to fit your needs. No weekly commitments. You only get deliveries you want. Check it out. This week's menu, you get 3 meals for free. Free shipping at blueapron.com/Adam. That's blueapron.com/Adam. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, let's listen to that scene.
Sit. Now, the part you'll be reading for is one of the bad guys. There's Brian and Marty.
Who?
Is there a problem?
No.
Written by Quentin.
Peter Breck's already been cast in the part of Brian, so you'll be reading for the role of Marty. In this scene, you're both in a car, and Bill Shatner is hanging on the hood. What you want to do is get him off.
All right, I'm Marty.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. I'm driving. Okay. Where the fuck did he come from?
I don't know. He just appeared like magic.
Well, don't just sit there. Shoot him. Get him.
Thank you, Mr. Ritchie. I'm very impressed.
Audition over.
You're a very fine actor.
You're a very fine actor.
Thank you.
I do love that.
Quentin Tarantino, written.
Yeah, and then won his name off it, right?
No, that was Natural Born Killers. It was almost the exact same time.
Oh, okay.
Still like each other.
All right. Speaking of movies, had this funny conversation with Sonny the other day. kids are getting old enough where they could probably watch my movie, The Hammer. Had this,
this rated R.
Well, they don't care
for
about
right on
that.
Schedule.
But their little Asian friend who was sleeping over the other night had a problem with it being rated R, which is one of those things where you go, it's not really supposed to be rated R.
Well, let's also back up a second. If you were whatever age you were, 12, 11, and you were like, oh, I get to watch a rated R movie, you weren't protesting. You're like, oh,
wait a second.
Movie.
Is this the same one that said, I don't think I'm mature enough to have a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
There it
yes.
is.
And who told me I looked handsome in a beard.
There it is.
Oh, it's an insane
very
person.
Mature. Very mature young
Eddie
girl.
Eddie Haskell.
So, Eddie Haskell. So, there was that, but there's been some talk around the Corolla house that look, we should watch The Hammer at some point. The kids just watch. The kids love, the Sonny loves sports movies. The kids watch the same movies over and over again. They've never seen my movie. So there was some talk about we should watch The Hammer. Sad part is I think Lynette went to go look for it last night on like Apple TV and Roku and Amazon Prime and everything. We couldn't, it wasn't anywhere.
You don't have a DVD copy?
I don't have it. No. Oh. it's maybe it's sadder that I don't have a DVD copy. There's a little...
it's a fine achievement. You should have a DVD copy.
There's a lot of Corolla in me. Like, there's a part of me...
Some might say too much.
Yeah, sadly, that is like my parents, where I do not have a DVD copy of my movie around the house. Sure. Somewhere in the... I probably have a pile of 100 of them here. I just don't happen to have one. At the house, Lynette doesn't have one either, and that between the two of us, we got nothing. But
there's
you can...
One.
Put it by the front desk there. It's also kind of sad that it's a good movie, but it's not anywhere.
Yeah, like,
is it somewhere?
It's a few places. I'm very confused and vexed that it's not on iTunes, and we'll look into that, but that may be a ownership issue. But it's on YouTube, it's on Amazon Video, it's on Google Play, and
there's
it's
a
on
little, there's a little public service announcement. There's a great app called Just Watch, and it is an app you can use to find out where any movie is streaming for free or pay or otherwise.
I like that.
Mac, you put in a. I'll put the hammer in.
I'm doing it right now, Brian.
Thank you.
Oh, nice.
So anyway, we couldn't just watch, but
the website as well.
We decided to. So the thing that was funny was a few days before we've been warming into this notion of watching my movie for like 2 weeks. So like a week ago, Sonny announces he's going to watch the Blind Side for the 17th time.
Oh, wow!
And I said, I agree. It's a sports sort of, it's a sports with a heart, a little comedy in there. And I said, you know, if you're going to watch that for the 17th time, you could just go ahead and watch The Hammer for the first time. And he said, yeah, I don't know about that. And I said, well, I do. It's a good movie, and I think you'll enjoy it. And he said, yeah, but is it as good as The Blind Side? And I said, well, I don't know. I like The Blind Side, but... I'll bet if you went to Rotten Tomatoes, you could look up the score for The Blind Side, and you could look up the score for The Hammer, and you'd have to go critics, and we'd have to check in with the audience and see what they thought. And I think The Hammer would do better.
I think the Hammer's higher, too.
I think it's higher. So Natalia, who's there, standing there with her phone, is now looking on The Blind Side, and she's looking on The Hammer. And she has 66 for the critics, but 85 with the audience on The Blind Side. It's a feel-good movie. And there's also a little element of it's a weird thing where the white couple's taking care of the black guy. And I think some of the critics didn't like that aspect of it. So you can shave. Again, you have to factor in the times we're living in and some of the political stuff that's in there. But the people like. So then she picked that up. And she picked her phone up. She said Blind Side 66 and 85. And then she said The Hammer is 80. And 89. So I said, okay, Sonny, so we got it beat in the critic department. We got it beat with the audience department. And he said, you can't always trust that. I said, well, maybe you can't trust.
Sonny does like to play it safe.
That's a real grandpa Corolla movie.
No, you can't trust the critics, but if the audience liked it better, you got to listen to the audience.
What do they know?
Yeah.
Bunch of rubes.
But he gave this like, I've been burned before. And I'm like,
him in to play a game.
I swear to God, I was like, really? Nothing? Not tonight. Not tonight. So I'll keep you guys posted on how that. I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't imagine a world where my dad starred in a movie, and I couldn't imagine a world where we could watch it at home. And I couldn't imagine a world where I just decided I didn't. Yeah. I'm going to watch Sandra Bullock for the 18th time. Like I can't imagine a world. But
let's see if she really deserved that Oscar.
That's where we're living, everybody.
Yeah.
My dad was on TV for, you know, sports announcer and stuff for a million years. But one time they filmed something in Kansas City where he was Hector Elizondo's body double, and we wore out that VHS tape.
Body double.
Yes.
Jeez.
We were proud.
Hector Elizondo's body double. It is. Here's how it works. If you're into it, like, none of it makes sense, is what I'm saying. So, if you're into it, then there could be one of those t-shirts that has the graduating class of the 1989 on it with the 722 names on it, and the mom would be holding in alphabetical order your name, her son's name, written in microscopic lettering in the middle and holding it up to her friends of the junior college that the kid graduated in the middle of the class. I'm like, look at this t-shirt. Look at this t-shirt. So if you're into it,
there's no stopping you.
There's no amount. Like, right. It's not based on the size of the achievement. It's not, well, New York Times bestseller, Nobel Peace Prize, or anything. No, it's just on t-shirt if you're into it. Yep. If you're not into it, as my family's clearly not into it, then there is no amount of achievement. So you think it's something based on the size of the thing. I mean, God's honest, after Jimmy hosted the Oscars, the temperature around the Carolla family, not the kids and the wife, but my parents and my immediate family, somewhere between 0 and 1, like, to that achievement. So you think, oh, well, then he's got to up the ante. Like, maybe they combine the Oscars with the Emmys with the Tonys and he hosts that. There's no anything. That's the point. Like, we think of the achievement, like, okay, the achievement will push them.
Right.
No. The Hector Elizondo. Elizondo's
we're so
body
excited.
Double, if you're that family, is a 10. And if you're Sonny starring in a movie, is a 1. So that's who he is.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, I'm trying to think, I guess somewhere in the middle is the place to meet.
Yeah,
maybe edging towards the 10. You want to, you know, celebrate the fun things for a family. Yeah, like dad being the helicopter Elizondo's body double. You know, those like celebratory occasions.
30 years ago or more.
Yeah. All right. So that was interesting. So we'll watch that. We also watch, we got the first cut of Willie T ribs in, which is really good now.
It's a clock in the net.
Right now,
so first cut used to come in a little fat.
Well, I shouldn't say first cut, but it's cut down to a good movie at an hour 49 minutes, but we'll probably get it, or hour 46 minutes minus the credits, and we'll probably get it down to about 100 minutes. Let's say. So I'm looking forward to that.
Does it bum you out knowing there's going to be stuff you love that's never going to be seen? Have you made your peace with that?
It is very much part of the process, and it just is what it is. But the amount of time, amount of work that you put into it, and amount of whatever. Yeah, it's just the process. I don't know any other way to sort it out. So that it is so. And we'll be submitting it to Sundance in about a week. So we shall see.
Hear the official now in about 3 weeks.
It is a compelling theme, specifically, for the Sundance crew.
It's a perfect theme for what's going on right now, especially when you watched a movie, because you had no idea of this man's story. Right. And it's such a great Jackie Robinson modern day. Yes.
Can I ask, are you sticking with the title?
I was going to say, can you reveal the title? Yeah.
Oh, Uppity. Yes.
Nice. That's just the Uppity. Okay.
We're waiting.
Uppity. Ready for the rest? To do.
He'll tell you.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. All right. We'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game, and I'll tell you. All right. Here's a quickie. You guys tell me about this. I believe that you can affect change with some consequences, but I'm not very good at the consequences, and thus nobody changes. But you guys tell me about this. Watching NFL football Sunday for the first time last weekend.
Did Sonny host all right in your absentia?
Yes. All the usual characters were there, and the the eccentric guy goes by the handle of Randy. Uh-huh. Was there as well, who Jay Moore seemed to have nailed his character dead nuts on without ever really meeting him. Randy's a good guy. I've known him for many years. Last year, game one, he somehow capsized a bowl of fruit salad, store-bought fruit salad, capsized it, and Give it a preliminary wipe down, but not the kind of wipe down you need when all that fruit juice hits the table and hits the floor and drips under the thing and does the whole nine yards. And the next day I showed up and it was a sticky mess all along the floor. And I found myself with like Simple Green and a scrub brush. And I was just working the whole area. Okay. So when I walked in this week and I saw Randy sitting at the front edge of the table, I said, hey, this year, because he's just like one of these guys who'll just walk around eating a fudge brownie with no paper plate, no napkin, anything, just be walking around, like, pacing over the carpet, just, like, eating it. And
so he's
be like,
Natalia?
Just get something under you or whatever. So this time I walked in, and as soon as I spotted him, I said, hey, this year, keep it clean. I don't want to be coming in and mopping up the next day. Oh, yeah, he assured me, no problemo. Then at about the halfway point after the burgers had all arrived and everybody, I'm going to tell my kids I'm going to give them two things. Live close to where you work. This is a huge thing in life. It's huge. The people who live close to work appreciate it. The ones who don't understand it as well. It's just it's very impactful in terms of your life. Now, I'm sure they're going to be working from their pod and they're not going to even go to work, but live close to where you work and get used to enjoying your hamburger as it comes. Just the tomato and the lettuce and the onion. Don't have this part where you have to pull it apart and pick everything, because there's two things. First things first. The person will screw up your order every time as people get further and further out of it. And as there is no such thing as a professional waiter anymore, there's just an actor who's in between gigs now. There used to be professional waiters and waitresses. Mm-hmm. This job at a professional level does not really exist anymore. So you get the dodo birds who say, I don't need to write this stuff down. And then you start in with the, I want cheese, but no onion, no tomato. All they hear is onion, tomato, and whatever. There's also a little thing of like, it's not worth it. Just enjoy a hamburger as God wanted you to enjoy it, with the slice, with the pickles and the slice of onion and the slice of tomato and the slice of lettuce. It's better that way, but it also prevents you from performing surgery. Yep. Like, you don't have to get a fucking rib spreader out every time your burger shows up. And here's the problem. When you have a group of 12 dudes who are watching football, we can't work out everyone's...
Which one's mine? Which one's
mine? And there's no marking a thing with a no onion, no tomato, light lettuce. You know, like, we can't work that all out. So just get used to getting the burger and eating it. If you'd like to add some mustard or a little ketchup, that'll be your decision. But let's not have the part where you have to take the thing. It's like you become a fucking chop shop for burgers. Like, here comes the burgers. Get in there. Any cops follow you? No, let's get them taken apart. Strip it down. Just eat it.
Yeah.
Just eat it.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to say...
Taking it apart loses some of the magic.
Well, and not only that, but you bite into it, you go, oh, this one isn't mine. Who wants this?
We see the long bridge of saliva. Oh, yeah. Who wants this
one? I'm good.
I had provolone. Okay, this is yours. And then everyone starts sliding it across the table. So, yes.
You know who's got it down? Not to get too eccentric, but people should go to this place if they visit the town. Apple Pan. Apple Pan in West LA.
The other way.
We just went there. We got burned. I think they're closed on Monday.
Oh, but you get what you pilgrimage. Get. You get one
they have like two burgers on the menu, and they're spectacular.
I agree.
We went there on Saturday. We got one of each of the burgers, me and Christy, and just devoured
it. Good.
No modifications.
I thought you were going the
other
side.
No, but you're
the saying
everyone else has to take everything apart.
Yeah. Nope.
Just look, it's a burger.
The whole
tomato and the pickle and the lettuce and the onion, it's part of the burger. Mm-hmm. Stop picking it apart. Anyway. I'd like to really look into the psyche of everyone that needs to heavily modify their burger. I don't trust it. Yeah. But anyway, not past the age of 13. Once you get into like junior high, just take the goddamn burger. Anyway, you guys tell me what you would do here. Okay. So I'm eating my burger as it was meant to be eaten. I finished my burger. I got Nick Santora to my left. I got Kevin Hinch to my right. And at a certain point, I look to the left, and there's Randy, who, of course, had to take his burger apart. Otherwise, he wouldn't be weird. He just has to do everything in a weird fashion.
On brand.
He has the foil that his burger came in spread out. He has the burger sitting on top. Dawson, I'd like you to really weigh in on this as someone who's been banished from an NFL Sunday for bringing the wrong kind of cheese.
Right. That's what it was.
Over to Kimmel's house. I'd like you to weigh in on this one. Okay. Opens the foil. Removes, of course, the two pieces of tomato. It's a double-decker burger. And the pickle. Don't answer yet. I'm going to tease it. And lays the two pieces of tomato that are, you know, got the mayonnaise or the sauce or whatever schmutz on it, on the bare mahogany table right next to the foil. Just lays it out.
Next to the foil.
Lays it out flat with the pickle flat, just right there. Yep. What I always love is right after the talking to, like right after the discussion of, hey, this year's going to be different. It took
fresh start. 41
minutes for this, which is, all right, hold on. Oh, no. Don't answer. I'm fighting mad. That's why I'm going to talk about Canelo and Triple G, man.
What's the question?
Saturday. I'm going to leave it up to Dawson for the banishment because he knows the sting. He knows firsthand the sting of being banished from Kimmel's situation. I'd like to revisit that very, very uncomfortable.
It's about that time,
episode
right?
in your life, but it's about that time. And I'll tell you about Canelo and Triple G. September 16th, the showdown that fans have demanded. Canelo Alvarez and Canati. Triple G Golovkin, man. Oh, this is a epic battle. Real boxing fans have been waiting for this battle for a long time. Canelo Alvarez, who's stated that he fears no man through a super paunchy little interpreter.
I fear no man.
This is the Canelo era, and Golovkin, his guy's a knockout artist. They're both knockout artists now, so you can't miss this event. Sports fans ever are going to be watching this one. They're going to be talking about it. It's really the biggest legitimate fight in a long, long time. We're going to figure out who the best man on the planet is, so let's not miss it. That's 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific, live on pay-per-view, Saturday, September 16th. I think we're going to have Canelo on this show, so we'll look forward to that as well. 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. So I look to my left, and I see that the two full slab tomatoes have been picked off the burger and just laid out on the bare wooden table.
Yeah. Not on top of each other?
Nope.
Both flat.
Both flat.
Taking up a lot of real estate.
The pickle as well. And I said, Randy, what's up with this? And he said, I moved the foil and they slid off and they're there, which is pretty impossible.
Can he do the tablecloth magic trick?
No.
The candles are still standing.
He cannot. So my first impulse is, obviously, the discussion of things that I have with many people on many, many occasions is as good as nothing.
Yeah.
When you're sitting right next to me and this is your protocol, I think a one-week ban is the way to go.
Send a message.
Yeah,
send
and people
message.
Always go, oh, that's not going to work. Oh, and I find that it works very nicely. Very nicely.
The problem is, I'll weigh in and Dawson can render his final decision. The laying of the tomatoes next to the foil, followed by, to your face, the very implausible explanation, means I don't know this person. I've never met this guy. I think we're dealing with an insane person. I don't think a one-week ban is going to have the same impact it would have on a sane person.
Here's what I find. I find sane people sober up super quickly. I know there's a lot of S's in there.
Yeah.
I find this makes the insane sane again.
Sober sanity.
Your dog is basically like an insane 3-year-old, and your dog, boom, will do that the second you
take the food away.
They need
whatever that thing is, they get sane real fast. I've had the gardener who just couldn't close the garden gate, couldn't do it. $50 bucks later, all of a sudden, magically, they can. Like, insane take off that Napoleon hat very quickly when it comes to consequences. Dawson?
What's the time amount between you telling him to be clean and then the tomatoes on the table, which is in his
I like. I like where you're going with this, Dawson. I like that you're breaking down the game film.
Was it immediately 15 minutes?
I walked in at a few minutes to noon, and he was on the front edge of the table. And as I walked in, I remember it was like on my mind. Like, let's not have another year of the grease slick where you were sitting at the table, which, by the way, is there right now. That's where you sat. And that now here's the deal. Like, here's how I'm wired, and I'm not wired like Jimmy Kimmel in this way at all, which is if I am going to open the place up, provide the bottled water and some of the drinks and whatever, and come, it's sort of incumbent on you to sort of clean up after yourself. You got a good thing going here. There's no admission. It's a good deal. Yeah. It's a fun time. But I need you to act like, I need you to be a little bit invested in your space. I do have to show up the next day and get down and wipe the Thousand Island sauce off the arms of the chairs. Like, that's my duty. That Monday morning, that's part of my ritual. And I accept it, but I also feel like it could be on you. You could do that.
Yep.
I know right where Randy is sitting, and you can see on that part of the table, there's
the
just a big
zone.
The big thing of schmutz there. But I walked in at Dawson. We finished up on Sunday about 11:45. I got my stuff together. I went over to the other thing. So I would have walked in about 10 minutes to noon, and memory serves, the food arrived before 1. So I don't
so
really
think
it was about an hour. Yeah.
Booze involved? He drinking?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first
you
of
wanna,
all,
you want a moment to reconvene?
Recalculate some figures.
Here's the thing. Taking your tomatoes off of your burger, it's inexcusable, one, but then laying them on someone else's bare table when there are napkins everywhere.
There's napkins, there's paper plates, there's bags, there's your own foil.
That's a weak ban for me right there. That's one Sunday you're gone.
Do you think he's not being harsh enough?
Here's where it gets serious. You asked a question, and the first thing he did was lie to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give him an extra week for that.
Unless, for the lie.
Unless he can say when the Chargers bye week is, and then he's only out for 1 week.
Speaking of that, I like that, Dawson. And also, you get to play the heavy. All
Dawson's
right.
The axe man. He comes over.
What happened with Kimmel so many years ago was you brought over some calzones, right?
No.
No.
No. I was talking to him about that I don't like ricotta cheese on a calzone.
I thought you brought them over.
No.
I thought you've brought them in. Haven't you made them for us before?
No.
We've never tasted one of your calzones.
No, you
oh, maybe
you
I was
haven't.
Eating Jimmy's calzones and you were talking to him about Jimmy's calzones.
I don't know if Jimmy's busy these days. If we get him on the phone, can we get him to weigh in?
So you're talking to him. It was just some hot calzone talk.
We were just talking outside about some hot calzone talk. And there was I said that I use a mix of Jack and mozzarella, which is kind of standard pizza cheese across the board at every place I worked at. It's like, 75% mozzarella, 25% Jack. Gives it a nice, salty, good flavor. And that's what I use on a calzone. I just said, I can't stand ricotta. He smiled and said, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, noted.
And then,
good
and
story.
Then, and it was noted.
Right. But then I think that was in combination with the bye week,
Chargers
with the Chargers bye week.
I said, hey, but everyone was talking about what game should we put on. I was just sitting there. I said, throw the Chargers game on.
Right.
How
and,
was he?
How, it was a bye week.
How were you notified that you were no longer welcome?
Oh.
They took him into a room.
It was a great day.
They took him out on the lake in Lake Tahoe.
Like in La- yeah, get in the rowboat with me. Fredo's not coming.
It was syndicated in 8 markets.
Okay.
Live on the radio.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Oh, Kimmel delivered
the news.
That is humiliating.
The best part that's kind of away from the story is I emailed Kimmel right after I got banned on the air.
After we did the morning zoo version of it.
And I said, that was pretty funny, man. So see you Sunday. Wrong thing.
Okay.
I got one of those emails that people talk about getting from Kimmel.
You haven't arrived.
Are you a fucking idiot? Are you the stupidest person in the world? Were you there? Or did you send a stupid twin in to be on the radio?
Really? Like, was that juicy? Oh.
It was big time.
Frame that.
I should have saved it. I did
you
not.
Should have saved it.
That's a spicy meatball.
I want a calzone now. I feel like it's been too long.
Like nobody's
now,
business.
Half ricotta,
I did
half
find mass. Out that if you take the sauce out of the calzone, it's called a stromboli.
I do like mm-hmm. those, too.
That's,
you roll them up.
That's where the money is. Then you dip it in the sauce.
Oh, I love the dip in the sauce. Yeah. I love the dip in the sauce.
Wasn't the bad guy in Pinocchio named Stromboli?
I think he was, the great Stromboli.
All right, there's a phone call up Crude there before Italian we play the game. Justin, 39, Orange County. Justin?
Hey, Ace, get it on.
What's going on, man?
I have a crazy friend and a problem that I need your help with.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
My crazy friend
puts tomatoes on your mahogany slab table.
He said crazy, not psychopathic.
Okay. Go ahead.
I have a friend that discovered some dude, like in Ohio, who is like an author, mm-hmm. who claims that he channels an alien named Kryon.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend is now trying to convince me that this guy Kryon can like predict the future, and he sort of knows everything that's happening. And I have gotten in the most insane arguments ever with my friend, and I want to know, like, what you would say to your friend if he told you something like this.
It's sort of a recurring theme, but you got to cut him loose. I've not been able to really correct anybody's behavior, and I've been around for a while. I had guys I went to high school with. I mean, you have to understand, out of the folks that I hung out with and went to high school with, I am somewhere between 2,000 and an uncountable number more successful than they are. Mm-hmm. They just, my friends are just I don't know, call them losers, but somewhere along the line,
they
somewhere between
out.
Like unemployable. Yeah. And $62,000 a year, the best year, knocking on the door of, you know, going to turn 55 in a few years.
But like, not losers.
Like nobody has ever achieved any measure of anything. And I will I'll include family members. And I've been telling them for 20 something years, here's how you do it. Listen to me and come along with me on this ride. Mm. And it's been a unified fuck you. So I don't even try anymore. This is people I haven't talked to in years and years and years. I went to high school because our last conversation was, you've been making these excuses for years. You told me that a year ago today. Let's move on. Let's focus on what we can do. Mm-hmm. And it's none of it has ever worked. So I'm of the mindset now, like this, you know, we have this thing where it's like, hey, people need a helping hand and people need... Most people slap most helping hands, sadly. They'll accept your cash, and they'll accept your free food, but the terms of the part where you have to go, here's what we need to do now,
no way.
And these guys are semi-intelligent and do not speak to aliens named after spray paint. Mm-hmm. So I would say moving on.
Yeah.
That's
a good tip.
Good. Thank
you. Justin.
We have the Rotten Tomatoes game. We have another car problem from John Wick 2.
I just saw that.
I like to watch movies and then figure out what's wrong with their analysis of what's going on with the cars.
Uh-huh.
And
you're saying John Wick 2 doesn't strictly adhere to the rules of this world?
Is it a Keanu vehicle?
Yeah. I will take them.
Absolutely.
I will take them going over the drawbridge, and even when the timing is off and the thing's way too high, and then they cut back and it's lower, and it stops moving or whatever. I will take all, or that part of the drawbridge where they can never reconcile when it's almost straight up and down, and there's that huge 3-foot gap at the bottom that their car would never get past when they're driving on. I'll take all that. Then when they start talking about the cars, that's what screws me up, because that part is the most easily done.
Yes, you're right.
And they never do it. And this is, who's in this? We got Keanu and...
John Leguizamo.
He's the chop shop owner.
He's a chop, and he's called him over to help him out, like help him tow his car. And he's assessing the damage. just before this, John Wick took his Mustang and just...
He's like bumper cars with the bad guys. He was demolished.
Right. But then he drove out to the country where his house is, right? So he made it down the country road to where his house is, and then he pulled up and he called Leguizamo to come sort of assess the damage. And this is Leguizamo.
John, what the hell? I thought you loved this car.
Car's all bashed in.
Well, your motor's about to fall out, and the chassis is all bent up. The drive shaft is all destroyed, and I don't know if you noticed, but you got a crack in your windshield.
Now, here's the deal. If your drive shaft is destroyed, your car can't move. You can't bend down and go. You couldn't have driven in from the city to the country with a destroyed drive shaft, because that's the thing that hooks up the engine to the rear wheel. It's called the drive shaft. If that thing is if that thing's destroyed, then there is no movement of the, you can have the windshield cracked. You can have the radiator leaking. You can have the engine and suspension busted up. You can have 1,000 things wrong with the car, but the one you really can't have wrong with the car is a destroyed drive shaft, since the engine's in the front and the wheels are in the back and it's a rear wheel drive car. You just simply have to pick another piece of verbiage. Yeah. Just anything. Just anything. You could say
your drive shaft looks like hell.
You could say that. You could say that. I probably would stay away from the drive shaft altogether and just say the differential's falling out, or the pan is leaking like a sieve, or the suspension is shot to hell, or your brakes are smug. You could say anything but the drive shaft is destroyed, because then that would make it physically impossible for him to operate the car, which they just did. Mm. Why doesn't any... I'm always curious why nobody raises their hand. First point is, boy, do actors not know anything about anything ever.
Yep, no questions
because
asked.
They do those scenes. I was talking to a stuntman friend of mine. You can listen to it on CarCast. And he said, you know, when they do those scenes, they just find a straight guy who knows how to drive a stick, and they go, come here, give us some stuff. Like, he might, what would he say? Like if he saw this. But then they go drive shaft, and that's not a good thing to say. And I just never, you can go like, well, what difference does it make? Well, it doesn't. That's my point. You could say anything you want to say. Just say something that doesn't invalidate what he was just doing moments earlier, which is driving the car to his estate in the woods. Yeah. That's all.
In a movie about a hitman who exists in a criminal underworld that has its own set of rules.
I found something wrong with this.
I buy it all. I go along with all of it, but you're now attempting to draw me into reality. That's the thing. That's the whole part with the Transformers. It's an insane premise. It's an insane premise, which I'm completely going along with. But when Hot Chick is looking at the cross flow RAM injection and says a high riser with a double pumper, I'm out.
Yep.
I am out.
You have to hit those right notes, whether it's fantastical and transforming robots, or, you know, the chick looking at the motor.
What was the phrase?
It's an attempt for us to believe that the hot 16-year-old high schooler is a gearhead.
Right.
Unfortunately, you failed miserably, because what I'm looking at is not what she's describing. Right. So you're, in fact, hurting your own cause. Yes.
And what was the insurance commercial? What was the wording that didn't make it? Torque suspension, torque ratio.
I love that. You do all your research.
Call him Brad.
Curb weight, compression, torque ratios. You even named him Brad. And then you drove him off a cliff. Okay, bitch. You're scaring me, man. I was going to beat off later, but forget it now.
Very vanilla Sky.
The other one, I know we've broken this one down, but it's still bothering me. The one where the mom's got the kid who can't handle the lug wrench, but they're showing the other two kids.
Oh,
Dawson's getting pissed again. The other two kids that don't know how to handle the lug wrench. It's nonsensical to me. Look, I'm not following it.
Right.
I'm not sure.
What part are you following?
Who belongs
she's,
to who?
She's there to say, here's what happened last weekend, but we had this coverage and it wouldn't have happened to us. But then we see two different kids that it happened to calling home.
I think the underlying premise is that all of these kids are incompetent and don't know anything about changing a tire. I think it's as simple as it gets. He's like, my boy wasn't stranded when his tire went flat, and they cut to the other kids who are like, wait, why? He's like on the phone. He's like, wait, they do what? They have towing bubbles? Like, well, oh, we're stuck out here because they're stranded with a
totally different
tires.
Scenario.
My kid's a pussy and can't change a tire.
Oh, Dawson's pissed, but so am I. Well, there's a couple things.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different commercial.
We're going to hear it. Oh, give me 1 second.
Wow.
Does anyone really fully grasp what this?
Okay,
what message they're driving home?
Right. I'm talking about a different commercial.
And then, much like the McDonald's commercial, where even when we got out the jeweler's loop, no one was fully clear on whether the chick on the hog was right. The chick in the minivan's alter
chicks.
Ego, or was it the another chick, right. Or was it supposed to be her in the future, and it turns out it was supposed to be two different chicks, or why'd you get two identical redheads with green eyes then? Why, in a world with crazy diversity, where you gotta shoehorn black folk in wherever you can, why not in this goddamn commercial? Then they have a blonde kid and a black kid like working on the car on the roadside. Because every time I saw it, I thought it was this guy right. Who was broken down.
This is the commercial that I'm thinking.
All right,
let's see. Well, hold on a second. I got to break it down. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Major credit reporting bureau announced a breach that's affecting 143 million Americans. 200,000 credit card numbers were accessed, plus personal data, including social security numbers from about 180,000 were accessed. Look, this is, I've said this, I really do mean it. And people always laugh when I go, criminals are lazy. And they go, huh? Because I think of them as bad people, but yeah. They're lazy people.
Criminal masterminds is what I think.
Yeah, but your regular criminal just doesn't want to get up and punch the clock and get dressed and get shower in the morning, like sit in traffic and do all the stuff we do, the honest people do when they go to work. And the problem is breaking into your house and stealing a stereo is like, that's kind of a calorie burner.
Yeah, it's a lot
and you
work.
Might get bit by a dog. But if you told that guy, stay in your bathrobe and just rip off everyone's identity and do it from your comfort and security of your mom's basement, they would do it, and that's what they're doing now, and that's why you need LifeLock. They could detect a wide range of identity threats, and they don't just monitor your credit, they stop them. And if there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. It's 2017, folks. Let's get LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
Couple things going on with this commercial. First off, kind of Asian mom and son who looks a little more Hispanic than he looks Asian, but I guess he's a mix, but I'm already bumped from lights up. Now he's going to stand there in front of the Statue of Liberty and she's going to talk about how this guy broke down, but then we're going to show a different group.
Sheepish looking boy.
Yes, yep. Yes. We need a neutered wuss to stand there looking sheepish. And then I'm not sure.
His mom is confessing to the camera that my boy doesn't know how to change a tire.
A lot of shame.
But do we need the reenactment from his friends?
It's not a reenactment.
Oh, his friends broke down last weekend. All right, let's just see it.
With Liberty's roadside assistance, don't get stranded.
I don't have Liberty. I do have a flat tire, and now I'm out past curfew. Nothing good happens at this time. The only thing awake are owls, chipmunks, and fireflies. Sounds magical. It isn't. And then there's this guy. All he's doing is this.
It's a different one than that's the extended dance version one.
The remix.
All right.
Weird, but
not effective or weird.
Overall, I agree. These commercials feel slapped.
Liberty
together.
Mutual stood.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah,
stood with my son.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's weird. It's weird that we have to just another guy being a total puss, just standing there, and then the two puss sons. Or by the side of the road, and all right, let's hear it. Sorry.
Liberty Mutual stood with me when this guy got a flat tire in the middle of the night.
Hold on, Dad.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Yeah. First off, getting a flat tire in the middle of the night, like if that was your daughter, be like, oh my God, are you okay?
Right.
Like she's going, when this guy got a flat tire, he's like, like he didn't drive over spikes for being chased by sheriff.
Yeah, generally not your fault.
Right. So why does he have to be all sheepish about it? Yeah. Why should he be
accusatory? I failed as a parent, so I'm going to call out my son.
Yeah. Reel it in, Tiger Mom. Here we go.
Liberty Mutual 24-hour roadside assistance helped him to fix his flat so he could get home safely.
My dad says our insurance doesn't have that. Don't worry. I know what a lug wrench is, Dad.
Yeah, so his loser friends It's also a weird thing that he has a cat's paw. Like,
wait, hold on.
He has a nail pulling cat's paw, like a crowbar. Which is weird. Like, why is that in your trunk?
Yeah.
Why? You don't know anything about tools. You're driving your car around.
I'm doing some demo work after the Liberty guy shows up.
He's got a weird nail pulling cat's paw device, essentially a crowbar that he's holding up. And, I think he's a, American? Is he Eastern Indian kid? I don't know what this guy's nationality is, but.
Yeah, let's back up a second, because you thought these were the same kids?
No.
Like, I know you're racist.
No, I am racist. No, I thought, I wondered if the kid in the back was the, was this guy.
Because they have the same mop top hair.
They got the same mop top hair. I mean, I'm saying pick a blonde haired kid. You gotta understand.
You drink a lot.
Yes. And you have to understand that people don't do what I do, which is watch commercials, take thin tape, put a grid on the screen, and then break down the game film. In your head, it needs to immediately just pop. It's like you need to. It's like I say to people, you know, when they come out with their movie titles, but they've screwed with the font and they've done some artistic license, and you're on the 5 freeway and you're going by 60 miles an hour, and you realize you passed the same. You don't know the name of the new Tom Cruise movie because they've screwed with it. You need to be able to read it. Like, just read it. And so she's talking about this guy broke down last weekend in the middle of the night, and then they show two guys who broke down in the middle of the night. Just make the one kid blonde and the other kid black, and then we don't have, there's no kind of adjustment. Like, I don't have to go, wait, oh, is that kid, is that kid that kid? He doesn't look like him, but it's the same hair. Like, why not just make the one kid blonde and the one kid black, and then we'll... We'll get on with it.
You have 30 seconds to get your entire message across. If any little part of it is confusing, you've lost the viewer.
Yes, if you have to like pause and go, hold on, just like my old McDonald's commercial, do we have to pause and go, is that her? Is that him? Who is that? Then you failed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And in a world filled with diversity, the black kid and the blonde kid make a nice statement.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Colors of Benetton. And I don't think this, even us talking about it, helped their cause at all, because for $100, I couldn't tell you what company that's for.
Good. Okay. All right. Let's. I'm going to call. We got Rotten Tomato Supply. Hey, Bob, 40, La Habra.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, hi. Hey, buddy. I don't like your mom. I've never liked her. I've had the same kind of childhood like you, and it hurts, but know someone who I just don't like at all, and when you just said something to me, and I spit my french fries out in the driveway, because Ray is disgusting.
Ray?
Why? What'd he do?
I just heard you say he put his penis in your mom's friend Kathy's ear.
Yeah, no, his mom.
Okay.
He would teabag. Yeah. My mom didn't have friends, and if she did, she wouldn't let him use the phone unless there were local calls.
Is that better, Bob?
You've got to be kidding me. He put his own penis in his own mom's ear.
Bob, I don't want you on the jury if I ever get indicted for anything.
Put down the french fries, Bob. This is going to get worse.
Oh my goodness.
Ray put his penis in his mom's friend's ear. Just to be accurate.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is so disgusting, Adam. I don't even think. Here's what I think. I want to get a ticket to your cruise ship. I want to go on the cruise ship, and I want to kick Ray in the nuts.
Sounds like a great
night.
You
may get a dick in the air.
Let's give
Bob. Email Parker.
Can we give Bob a ticket, and can we make him a room with Ray?
He may have ringworm. Yeah. Here's the problem with my wiring. I find Ray putting his dick in his mom's friend's ear hilarious. And I thought it was hilarious when I was there. I was 16. I thought it was funny as shit. And if you check back in with me at 30, I thought it was funny. And now I'm 53 and I think it's funnier.
Wow.
So that's the way I'm wired. But this is also part of my problem. I realize when I turn on the news, like, and I hear it's like Donald Trump's press secretary assaulted a woman on the floor of the RNC, and I go, oh my God, what happened? And then I see him like put the hand on the shoulder, and I go, that's not assault like that. But I'm also coming from a perspective of guys who stood around while Ray put his dick in people's ears and thought it was funny.
Right.
Which is really assault now.
That's extreme assault, yeah.
And then it didn't seem like anything but the funniest thing ever.
Good-natured
and
fun.
So that's where kind of my threshold is. Like my jumping off point is that didn't cross over into assault for me. So when I hear the versions of people feeling threatened by the other person standing up and leaning over them and yelling or putting a hand on the shoulder or even pushing. It all feels like nothing to me because I grew up around this.
When this happened and Ray's mom found out, what did she sound like?
God damn it, Ray. She didn't have find out. She was there. Like it wasn't like when she got back from the Caribbean. She came home with her trinkets and her big brim hat and a tan. She was standing in the kitchen. She was standing in the kitchen. It was a medium-sized apartment. She was in the kitchen. Right next to the kitchen was the dining room. Kathy was sitting on a chair talking on the phone back when phones were sort of stationary, like the phone's there. It's in the dining room. It's on the little table. She was standing there holding the phone up to her right. She was facing forward. It left her left ear exposed. Ray was walking to the kitchen naked through the apartment. And while she was talking, he put his dick in her ear. And then he went to the kitchen, told his mom to make him something to eat. Like his mom, it's not like he was looking around for his mom or worried. This is part of the problem. He was not worried about his mom finding out or Kathy telling his mom, no. His mom was standing in the kitchen 4 feet away where Ray put his dick in his mom's friend's ear.
I happen to love Ray. I think Ray's great, but this is beyond insane and inappropriate.
Not for us. Not back then.
He's a wild animal.
This
a lot of phones in that cruise boat.
This this one, in terms of Ray, for me, would have been a 3.5 to 4.
Oh,
this didn't even cross over into the whoa, buddy, like reel it in. Like you just crossed the line. Like this did not get into that realm at all. Not for us. Not then. That's unfortunately where my sensibilities are. So
your scale's been adjusted.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
All right. Somebody's calling. Nick's calling from Tampa. Nick. Nick,
hey,
from
man.
Tampa. What's going on, Nick from Tampa?
Man.
Yeah, man.
I'm doing good, man. Just wanted to call in and give you guys an update. I know I tweeted you guys on Saturday. I don't know if you remember. I was loading up on my ACSs in case
yes.
you were going to be...
I saw that. Thank you. How's it going over there?
It's actually, we really, I have to say, we dodged a bullet from Mother Nature once again here in Tampa. I know some people south of us in Naples and Miami weren't as lucky, but we had some Category 1 hurricane winds roll through last night, and we surveyed the damage this morning, and it's relatively good, surprisingly, luckily. So, and I was just wanted to say, I mean, I don't know how I hear you talk about the local government in LA and how the incompetent they may be with certain issues. And I don't know if they would handle it as well, but you know, I just got our local government here in Tampa had everybody ready. And honestly, I think, they saved a lot of lives with as much preparedness as they made us go through this past week.
I'm glad. Now, does it look like it's done, or is there more to come?
I think it's pretty much rolled through. I mean, we were told actually the city government had a curfew that was enacted at 6 p.m. last night, and then they lifted it at 8 a.m. this morning. And since then, you know, people have been outside cleaning up their yards. I've walked through our neighborhood, my wife and I, and honestly a little bit of breeze, but I think relatively it's pretty much done for.
But there's an insane, like 5 or 6 million people without power around Miami, right?
That's what I heard.
I think a lot of people throughout Florida definitely were suffered, you know, or without power, or hopefully, I know a lot of, we've been hearing about people running out of gas because of generators, their generators are running out of gas, and so it's still a certain issue, but I think as far as kind of the devastation that Houston saw due to Harvey, we were lucky enough to, a lot of people were able to evacuate, and we were able to prepare a lot more in advance.
Hey, Nick, if I said to get in your car and drive to Los Angeles today, could you get in your car and just drive to Los Angeles, or would they say, well, the bridges aren't passable, or the roads, or I'd run into, or you'd never be able to make it past?
Honestly, since I'm in Tampa, I'm in the middle of the state. I'd have to go up some interstate to get out of Florida. And I know, you know, we were, that the storm is still heading up that direction. So I probably couldn't get through the interstates just because they, you know, the storm is still moving its way up the state into Georgia and Alabama. So I don't think I could do that today.
Invite retracted.
Honestly,
yes, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, hey,
and also my wife is extremely pregnant.
No,
so,
forget about that part. I mean, sorry, but I'm just saying, like, I'm always kind of curious. Like,
have a baby in Texas?
Could you get out if you wanted to get out? Could you drive out, or is the water up to here? The bridge is over there, or the interstate over there?
Yeah, luckily we didn't get any of the storm surge that like people saw in Houston. They had saw some in Miami and Key West and Naples, but luckily in Tampa we didn't get the same thing.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. I'm when I build my new house, I am just hell bent on solar and collecting, like, batteries, mm-hmm. like the Tesla battery system and stuff like that. It's 2017, people. Like, can't we just get some solar panels and some battery collection good enough for a few days? Yes. Like, it's really weird that everyone's on the grid, and then when something happens, whether it's a storm surge or a terrorist, whatever, now we're all off the grid, and we're all helpless. And it's one of the many things that I wish we focused on or got the word out a little bit, or, you know, like, I have looked into solar in the past, and when I looked into solar in the past, I was working on a house up in the Hollywood Hills, and I said, I want to get some solar going, and I got some solar guys out, and we talked about what the best plan would be, and then the guy explained to me, there is a problem, and what is that problem? The problem is, in Los Angeles, and I'll sort of paraphrase, and I'll screw this up, they do solar panels all over the western part of the country, but Los Angeles has a code that says the main shutoff for your solar whatever must be outside of your gate. Everywhere else says it has to be by the panel, okay, by the electrical panel. Well, I have, or had at the time, an electrical panel that was way inside and a long driveway with a gate. And in order to get this stupid cutoff switch outside the gate, I would have had to channel for several hundred feet, like literally dig a trench, like trench for like 200 feet and then pop up and, you know, cross under the driveway, maybe pull up part of the driveway, whatever, just to get this stupid cutoff switch outside the gate that no other municipality needed, according to the solar company. And this is years ago.
Yeah.
And so I went, well, fuck that. And he went, yeah, I get it. And we just moved on.
Well,
and there was no solar. You have no idea what this city does when you let them. Every fucking meeting they have, they just go, well, we need more rules. We need more stuff. We need to put more stuff. What? Hey, over in Ontario, they say the code is to put the shutoff switch at the breaker box. Well, how about we have it outside the house? We're Los Angeles. And it'd be nice if people could come by and shut your power off if they just wanted to slap the thing outside the thing. Like, you know, some guy wanted to prank you, it could go ahead and do that. Mm. And they make the rules, and then they're not really feasible, like, financially. And then guys like me go, well, I was going to get solar, but fuck it. And that's kind of where we're at. And then they do this thing where they go, well, they're giving rebates. They're giving solar rebates, but those all ran out. It's nothing but that. It's anything but let's get solar, like the freeway signs. So just say, let's go solar. Like, here's, call this number, call 1-800-GET-SOLAR and see how easy we can make it for you to get solar. Because all we talk about is renewable resources and how
green energy.
It's all we talk about, but we don't really, there's no incentive. Like, nobody does anything about it. Every house on your block should be solar. Turning the corner to 2018, every house you see should just be solar. Practically none of them are. And that's because the city's kind of neither here nor there. Well, or maybe it's a little nefarious. Maybe they like the revenue from the power company.
It's funny you mention that, because the caller's first question, or the original question was, oh, the government here does a great job of getting everyone prepared and helping out, and I wonder if LA would be the same way. Of course, we have earthquakes out here. It's hard to do the same kind of prep for them. It's mostly, you know, recovery efforts or whatever. But then I thought, isn't it crazy that we don't have, like, one day a year, November 1st, is Earthquake Preparedness
Day?
We
do. We just ignore it.
Then my second question was, I wonder if we do and they just don't publicize it. Because
it's called the Great Shakeup.
Really?
The Great Shakeout.
Okay,
yeah.
There should be, that should be, yeah, a well, I, that should I, be, all those should be on the signs.
I only today know about it because I work, basically worked in a newsroom. Nobody else
sure,
knows
you have
about
a good
this
reason to know about that. The rest of us should
nobody
be aware of the signs. That yeah, our ticket should say, hey, today's earthquake preparedness.
Yes.
Day. Refresh your emergency kit. Get
yes,
fresh water.
You're right.
Yes. Once a year.
I'll tell you when it is.
Yeah, the freeway sign
sadder,
once again.
Even sadder that they have it and know it. I don't know if anyone else here knew about it.
I was
know
confused. I just didn't smoke that day. Simply Safe. Oh, man. You take precautions every day. You got a case for your phone, identity theft protection. What about your home? What about your family? What about Simply Safe? No hassle. Just order it online. Completely wireless. Comes in pre-programmed. And it comes ready to work right out of the box. You install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, no holes in the wall, no exposed wires, no nothing. Clean, easy, simple, peel and stick. Round-the-clock professional monitoring with emergency dispatch. Only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contracts. Go to simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off when you order today. Get going. Do what Dawson does. Do what I do. Do what Mike August does. We all have Simply Safe. We all love it. Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I, safe, adam.com for 10% off. Get up and running today. Yes, Gina Grant.
Maybe we can get people on board with that, Ryan, now that you mention it. It's actually coming up October 19th,
wow,
and you do it at 10:19 a.m., and you go to shakeout.org, apparently.
Just refresh your emergency kits. Yeah. Have water and some canned food.
Let's put it on the GD sign, for Christ's yeah sake. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back. I think we'll do the news right after this.
Hello, this is Coach Jim Harbaugh with my esteemed colleague and co-host JT Rogan. And we're excited to announce our new podcast, Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, that's coming to Podcast One.
Each week, we'll be talking to different members of the Harbaugh family, along with athletes, celebrities, and unique guests.
On different episodes, we'll have my dad, Jack, my brother, John, my sister, Joni, my wife, Sarah, and even my kids from time to time. We'll have great guests each week, and we'll attack each podcast with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Sounds pretty good to me. So join us each Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, here on Podcast One. Also, make sure to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, on the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts. And Coach, who's got it better than us?
I know the answer to that, JT. Nobody.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights,
riffing on bad Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to another episode of Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. I'm Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. What's the poop, Ace Man?
I can't wait to hear about the draft.
Yeah, let's talk about it here and now. So, of course, I imagine anybody who's listening already knows about the league that Ace doesn't participate. You don't like the fairy tale football.
No.
I don't know why you can't play ball and be one of the gang.
It's a weird thing because I like drinking beers right with you guys.
Right.
But I also feel like it's the same way I feel about video games. Like I feel like it's work. It's work without reward.
Kind of.
Well, there's
right
an invisible reward. I don't mind the gambling aspect of it, but I just feel like there's a work involved with it. My son is knee deep in it, and all he does is sort of lament about drafts and scheme about. And it's an interesting thing, but I guess if I said, look, we're all going to get together and play Stratego super competitively every week for 5 months, you'd probably go, I don't want to play Stratego. And you go, why not? It's a good exercise for your brain. You go, well, I got a mortgage.
Yeah, I get it, but that's it. Yeah, well, either way, it's great. Well, bring Sonny in here. Let's so I can talk to
Sonny
him about fantasy football.
He knows every player in the league.
That's well, that's the answer. Ace and Sonny.
Ace and Sonny.
That would be a good team to join the league. As it is, though, it's, you know, it's got John Hamm, aka the Dreamy, Don Draper. Do you see, by the way? Do you see Baby Driver?
I did.
Great fun, huh?
Yeah, it was fun.
Loved the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Is there ever a movie that you can recall outside of like a Scorsese picture that the music was so integral to the story?
You know, Guardians of the Galaxy
yeah, right.
does that where they pick a really and Tarantino does that where they pick some song from the 70s,
yeah,
like the Raspberries Go All the Way. And you go, oh, it's such a great song. I haven't heard that song in such a long time. And then they in a weird way, it's cheating because all you have to do is have a bunch of guys walking in slow motion down the street. Like, on the page, it can't look like much. But if you have the perfect 70s soul song playing while they walk in slow motion, it's like, that director's a genius. But it's like,
let's put that list together as we go along, because I do think that's a fun thing, is the because every once in a while I'll hear a song, like you say, with Guardians of the Galaxy or otherwise, I think, if I ever make a movie, that one's too obvious. That can't go into the movie. This one's a little under the radar, and right, that's exactly right. You get a lot of reflected glory as a director from the good song that you get put into your movie. Either way, so we gathered, as we always do, for our draft. Sal, about 8 years ago, came up with a typically Sal evil ploy, which was fantasy football on its own wasn't fun enough, apparently. On the draft night, we have to show up, and the previous year's champion announces then and there, and not a second before, who he's kicking out for the coming
season.
You win,
you get to throw somebody out. And there's Hench, and there's Jimmy's buddy Elliot, and there's Hamm.
The highlight of the kickout process, I would say, well, there have been many highlights. Once Sal was a low light for me, but he had two people, theoretically, who were allegedly competing, whoever lost, making a giant Survivor-style puzzle. Whoever
the greatest
lost.
Videotape I've ever seen in my life, which is, look, it is, tell me if I overstate this, but it is devastating to the person who gets booted out and cannot compete for that year.
It's a humiliation. It really is.
It's,
I mean, you're being rejected by your friends.
It's humiliating and it's devastating.
Right. But you feel like, oh, I mean, I guess they don't like me that much.
Right.
If you're vain like me, especially, you're like, what? This is an indictment about who I am.
So you sit there and you wait for whoever won to give the nod or give the axe to whomever they want to kick out. And this year, Sal picked two guys. But when they picked two guys to compete, allegedly, to see who got thrown out that year, everyone else in the room had to breathe a sigh of relief because it's two guys competing to see who gets thrown out. Nobody would see through that ruse. It's this guy or that guy. As long as neither one of them is me, I'm going to enjoy another hit off my beer and
Correct.
Some nachos.
Right. Once it really got hot, I think about the second year or so that this process, this humiliation began, was when the Dutch Mook announced that Randy would be kicked out of the league. And he was so flummoxed. He's typically flummoxed. You know, it's his default setting. But he made for the door, and he found himself instead out on a fire escape, and too humiliated to cross back through the room past everybody, decided to just launch himself off the fire
escape. He did like sort of what George Bush did, which he exited the stage, and then the door it was a version of what George Bush did a few years back.
Basically,
when he was exiting the stage.
Yeah,
that was after lacing the entire room with Mountain Dew.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
he threw Mountain Dew everywhere.
The funniest version of it was when the aforementioned Elliot, the bald-headed attorney, decided that we're waiting and waiting for John Hamm, who is calling in every 10 minutes. I'm leaving set now of Mad Men. This is the most desirable man on the face of the earth to all women. I'm racing over there, guys. Hang on. Well, we can't start till John Hamm gets here. Hang on. Elliot get the reigning champion. Finally, Ham walks in, and the bald-headed lawyer kicks John Ham out of the league.
The look on John Ham's face was priceless.
Well, wait, I know it's funny, but you're not actually kicking out Don Draper, are you, fellas? That's a bad move for you guys. Now, you don't want old Dick Whitman out of your league, do you? But no, Blutt was serious, and Elliot was serious, and Ham slugged his beer and made for the door, and that was the end of it. And that's the only way to do it is just pick up your stuff. You may or may not be able to escape with a little bit of dignity in your pocket. That's what I do. I just make for. Then a couple of years ago, I got a whole nonsense thing. I'm not going to tell the whole backstory, but I somehow got tangled up in voting Sal out of the league. I was one of five people who voted Sal out of the league because the owners were the winners of the previous year. Craig and Brian.
Yeah.
They were too cowardly. They had no spine, so
they didn't want to vote Sal.
Everybody vote. So now it's like,
well, they didn't. It obviously it gets political because if you're Elliot and you kick Ham out and the next year Ham wins, then you got a target on your back.
It makes perfect sense. And then Simmons always comes in with the lamest. I don't know why it works or who it works on. I'm immune to it, but he does this thing in the week leading up to it. He starts sending out emails. What do I have to do to get kicked out? I hate fantasy football. I don't even want to be in this league. I hope you kick me out.
He's going reverse psychology.
Right. And so then everybody's like, well, it's not going to be fun to kick him out if he wants to be out anyway. So that's his ploy, and somehow he stayed clean all these years.
I think what we should do is we should take a look at the video, and we'll put it up at AdamCarolla.com.
Is this one from this year?
I believe this is from last year. This is you getting kicked out.
This is a couple years ago.
Okay, so I kick. So I'm one of five people who get sucked into this thing of like, because it's like Survivor. You know, there's only so many people. Like, where are the votes going? Where's the action? I see some momentum going against Elliot over there, but now on this side of the table, I see Randy go like, it's Damashek, right? If we all gang up on Damashek, he's out. As Randy's trying to get support from Simmons and Sal and Hedge.
So
I think I'm in trouble. Well, I know those guys are talking about Sal, so I'm writing down Sal. Better him than me. And by the way, out of justice, he should be the one to go since he's the one who came up with this dumb thing. So I voted him out. Somehow Sal was mad at me and only me. No one else was taken to task for voting against him.
This is the by-committee year. Right. This is the by-committee year, not the solo year.
So now we come back. I assume, well, I'm out. Sal's going to take me out. But instead, he says, he draws all five guys who voted against him the previous year. It's the Mook, it's Tall John, it's Sheck, and I forget the other two people who had voted against him. And somehow it winds up, it's Tall John versus the Dutch Mook. Whoever loses this puzzle-making competition is out of the league, allegedly, now, Roll Tape.
Right, wrong. All right, so when we'll narrate. So
who I pick out of the hat are going to compete.
He's pulling the names out of a hat. So it seems like two or three steps removed from once you're not pulled out of the hat.
Right.
Or the
there I am, right next to Dratch. There's Hench. There's the Mook.
All right, here's what's going to happen. Our friends at Country Time Lemonade were nice enough to donate a can of lemony soda.
This guy sponsored the event.
Put a shot glass on your head and walk it over here without spilling it to this table where a puzzle awaits you. You're going to untie the glass and do the puzzle.
Or you can walk out now.
And then we're going to see who was kicked out from there.
All right, so they have the Country Time Lemonade on their head.
Walk across the long bar room.
Both guys won it. No one. It's a long season.
They're putting the puzzle together.
And
the puzzle says, in Survivor.
And Damashek is in it.
Checkmate, it says. That was the grand.
See, look at Damashek. He goes for the door.
Yeah. That was Dickie from the Wallstones. All right. Everyone's there but me. But the point is this. That was brilliant. I don't know how anyone's going to outdo him.
It was a puzzle. So Mook and Tall John, I mean, right down to the wire doing this puzzle. Somehow the entire room is unaware of what's on the puzzle. They're just seeing it come together. And I'm like a jackass doing play-by-play. Like, the Dutch Mook is catching him! Like a buffoon. Like a clown for everybody's amusement. And as it finishes, everybody at the exact same moment sees that it says, Checkmate. See you next year, Dave.
Sheck, can I say this?
It hurt my feelings.
No, I agree with you, and I'm being completely serious when I say that if they had fantasy football a couple hundred years ago, you would have had to challenge Sal to a duel outside of ye old sports bar. You know what I mean? Like you would have been publicly shamed, and you would have been forced like Hamilton into a duel with him. I don't know if they had fantasy, plowing.
Yeah, like hieroglyphics on the wall. Like, here's what just happened in the game.
You would have had to challenge him to a duel.
Yeah, it was terrible. So that brings us to this year.
Well, now we gotta tease this year for the next episode.
We won't show it. You don't want me to reveal?
No, don't reveal
it. All right, Cousin Sal, I'm sure, is going to put that thing put the video out there. It was another dramatic two-person show.
Who got to make the call? Don't tell me who lost, but tell me who got to make the call.
Paul John. And of course, you remember phone screener from the Adam Carolla show. Kyle Husky Jesus was involved. I'm not going to say anything more about it. Jesus. He was there. Sporty Simmons was there.
We'll reveal it on the next episode.
It's just the worst. All right. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek here. Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sport. Good Sports.
Now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Coralville, Iowa. A 30-year-old man was arrested after threatening to shoot up a Domino's pizza that got his order wrong. Incidentally, when he answered the door for the delivery person, the man was naked! Definitely not a Jew!
Yeah. Love that. We've been skimping on the news lately, so I figure we'll do that, because Gina worked so hard in her preparation. First, little news from Gary.
Yeah, you guys all know we love Tommy John over here, and we're going to be taking some calls from fans later in the week talking about your Tommy John experiences on the road. You know, never leave home without it. So if you have a story, tweet us at Adam Carolla Show using hashtag Tommy John, and maybe we'll feature your call on the show.
Thank you, Gary. All right, now, the news with Gina Grad.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, former White House chief strategist for the Trump administration, Steve Bannon, gave his first ever TV interview to 60 Minutes Sunday night. Don't know if either of you caught any of it.
I did. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Interesting, too.
Yeah, he's back running Breitbart and granted Charlie Rose an interview about everything from White House leaks to his dislike of the Bush administration to his reason for going back into civilian life. Oh, and apparently the video isn't working. But basically, the
video.
Do
an impression.
Yeah, the video. Hold on, let me get my three button downs and my jacket on. When Charlie Rose asked him, you know, why did you leave? Why aren't you? If you are so influential over Donald Trump and over the administration, why aren't you there? And, oh, here's his response.
Sorry, give us 2 minutes here.
It's weird how interviews have turned into arguments now. Like, and I've never seen, like, 60 Minutes would just interview people. Like, in the past, those days are gone. It's on. It's more entertaining, by the way, to watch these kind of like Charlie Rose didn't show up to interview him. Charlie Rose showed up to get him and Bannon showed up to fire back. Yeah. Like this
sure
was
did.
Not nobody sat down for an interview. They sat down for
a little match. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be this strong a defender, why aren't you there? Why? And would the president of the United States, who you applaud so loudly, have allowed you to leave if he didn't want you out?
No, it's the exact opposite. I was a I'm not cut out to be a staffer. In the White House.
No, your title was not staffer. Your title was chief strategist.
You are a staffer. I was a federal government employee. There's certain things you can't do. I cannot take the fight to who you have to take the fight to when I'm an advisor to the president as a federal government employee. You can't do it.
And I don't know if you noticed, but when I was watching it live, we did back it up a few times because you could tell when Bannon, he has a great poker face, but he has a tell, and it's the jaw pulsating, the grinding of
gills.
The teeth. Yeah,
he has gills. Like when you stare in an aquarium in a dentist office and you stare head on to the fish, mm-hmm. you see this thing. But I don't know that it means something. I don't know what.
If I were doing it, because I was pissed. For me.
Oh, yeah. He could be pissed.
Pocket aces.
He could be pissed. Yeah. I don't know if it's a lying tell or a pissed tell.
I was thinking he was getting angry, but he was trying to control it. Because it's a little bit of a tooth grind, you know, when you're getting agitated.
I saw it pop up a few times. Yeah. I was noticing that. Yeah. It doesn't take one of those batty chicks who reads posture mm-hmm. and body language.
This is a micro expression.
You'll notice he looked to the left.
Yeah. I like that. I would love to have that job, by the way. Nutty broad who reads posture and then goes on Entertainment Tonight and explains mm-hmm. whether Patrick Dempsey was really having an affair. Do you see the way he looked down when he inhaled?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tell.
Classic tell.
Better job. That woman or the woman who makes the diagrams of the foot and like has every little inch meaning like, oh, this is where your stress is, and this is where your anxiety is, and this is where your
calorie burner. The drawing of the foot.
Yeah, you could just make this
one up. I'd rather just sit there and watch celebrities.
You don't think the foot's made up?
You got to draw it, though. You got to somewhere the Sharpie's got to meet the road. Okay, like I'm saying, I'd rather just sit and watch celebrities be interviewed and go, stop right there. He's lying.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And no one really could ever say anything
right.
about it.
But when you get
unless
those reflexes. Yeah.
Somebody then broke down the game film of you watching the game film. Ooh. And I jumped in and went, she's lying about him lying right now.
That I'd watch.
Inception.
You don't think reflexology is like a real thing? Like this is where on this part of your foot, this is leads to your digestive tract or this for your kidneys. I've seen someone almost shit their pants because so they were getting a weird foot rub from a reflexologist.
I'm waiting for the punchline.
No, there isn't one.
You don't think?
I mean,
no,
everything in the body is connected. Every nerve is connected to another nerve.
I find it dubious that your foot nerve is connected to your digestive tract.
But there's different nerves
all over. I think you've been smoking it dubious, dude.
I mean, I didn't think that was like a crazy.
No, I don't.
One nerve is connected to another nerve.
Here's what I
understand. Like here's like,
what,
like this
I, what I under or, what I understand about this. I think it's not like the old cranial stuff they used to have in the right. turn of the century right. where they could tell
phrenology
whether you're gay or not
yeah,
by
you know,
putting a caliper
head, yeah,
on
yeah.
your head and trying to figure out which part of your lobe was bigger, whatever it is. But I do. There are, you know, they're acupuncture, like you put this in here and that does freeze up your liver or something. Like, I'm sort of half on board with that, but not fully, and I'm not sure exactly how it goes.
I don't want to do it, but I've seen someone else show the brands.
Yeah.
Okay.
I draw the line at enemas.
Names.
So Jim Carrey, he's made a living off his silly behavior. We all know that in a lot of movies. But his appearance on the red carpet Friday night can be best described as bizarre.
He's right behind like Nick Nolte and Jan Michael Vincent in terms of he is going to go insane.
How Busey is he?
If he's not already there.
Yeah. On the Busey scale.
But he had a head injury, as Drew explained.
Oh, let's hear it. Can you find it?
I suspect Gary's head injury is affecting his behavior.
Busey is nuts, but he also knows he's nuts, and he plays it up.
Right.
He has fun with it.
He
leans into it, and he likes it. You think he's that?
Right.
So, like, I'm not sure how much of it is an act and how much it's both, mm-hmm. but I feel like Jim Carrey's starting to come unhinged.
Okay,
right?
Well, I'm going to show you a clip, and you tell me where you think he's at. Yes.
In the meantime, Gary, while you're doing that, Celebrity Net Worth, Jim Carrey. I wonder if the divorce got him, or if he's going to be that rare, super rich, crazy guy.
Okay. Well, so he made headlines the last few days from a red carpet. Oh, that's not bad. Red carpet interview he did at the Harper's Bazaar's Icons event in New York, where he gave a very strange red carpet interview to Kat Sadler. She's an E! News reporter. I thought handled herself quite well. The second half of it is basically complete gibberish. So here's the first 45 seconds.
Yes.
What? I've covered a lot of fashion weeks. This is the first time I've run in to Jim Carrey. Wait,
she's wearing a very sheer outfit.
Yes. You need a date to the party? What's up?
No. I'm doing just fine. I just there's no meaning to any of this. So I wanted to find the most meaningless thing that I could come to and join, and here I am.
They're celebrating.
I mean, you got to admit it's completely meaningless.
Well, they say they're celebrating icons inside.
Celebrating
Do you
believe icons. In Boy, that is just the absolute lowest aim.
It's turning into Willem Dafoe. You know,
possibility bit, yeah. that we could come up with. It's like icons. What do you believe in icons? I don't believe in personalities. I don't believe that you exist, but there is a wonderful fragrance in the air.
You don't believe certain icons have the power to make change, to think differently, to be bold, to inspire others? Artistry?
Inspire
You're
other
one
artists.
Of them.
I am with Jim on this.
That's a good answer. She did her best. She tried to hold her own, but he
couple
seemed a little
tells,
nuts.
Couple tells. Yeah. Dudes aren't supposed to be getting skinnier as they get older. Uh-huh. You're supposed to slowly kind of work into the dad body.
Bloat.
One of the tells is the actually thinner at 55 than you were at 30. If you take mm-hmm. a look at any sane dude, his hair's a little thinner, sorry, Brian, and he's packed on a couple of dad pounds, and that's what you look like when you're not sane. But all the nutty guys actually get thinner.
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, there's a weird, I could show you a ratio, but the dudes that are sort of normal, probably...
Good Charlie Sheen pull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good Charlie Sheen pull. And then there's like, I don't know, Dean Cain, where you just sort of pack on, yeah. you get a little more of your dad.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, your dad bod right. starts kind of yeah. kicking in.
Sure.
If you are getting thinner as you getting older, now there's two things at work here. There's the insanity thing, but there's the insanity thing that made you decide to go full vegan at 49 and a half. Like you're never going to touch animal protein again, but you're 50 years mm-hmm. old, yeah. or the one that got you into sort of at age 52, you got into Bikram yoga and tantric sex like that afternoon, and you do 3 hours of it a day, and then you know you wash it down with some kale at the end. Like that's part of the nuts.
Right.
It's not I'm nuts, I'm losing weight. It's I'm nuts, I'm getting into all kinds of crazy longevity mm-hmm. things. Thus the. So I think the skinny yeah, is a tell.
I think it is, too. I think there's a lot going on with Jim. He was a huge star, as talented as anyone of his era, just pure talent. Yet was never taken seriously as an actor or even a comedian. Like, he was always Ace Ventura to a lot of people, or he was, you know, goofy-faced, you know, rubber-faced guy to a lot of people.
And he could do dramatic acting.
He wildly talented. Yeah. And so I think Jim's a little bitter at the world.
I feel
for that. For
I
that.
Feel that. Yes.
Here's what I'm worried about. We threw out names like Gary Busey and that kind of thing. Where do you think he is on the Randy Quaid scale?
Well, Quaid scale. Quaid's definitely been good at packing on the pounds.
Yeah, that's yep. true.
That's good.
Although he may have thinned out from his former beefy self right. yeah. as well back in the day.
Oh.
Back in the
vacation
day and Independence Day and stuff like that. He's probably thinned down too, so he may be following the course right. I'm talking about. Here's what I feel with the Carries of the world, and it's a very difficult thing. There is a part of us that kind of needs to jump onto that hamster wheel every Monday morning and jump off of that hamster wheel Friday afternoon. I kind of, hey man, if I don't get out there and make hay while the sun shines, I'm going to lose it. I have a feeling that if I took 6 months off of show business, I'd never re-enter show business. Mm-hmm. I just feel like you got to get out there. You got to write that next book. Mm-hmm. You got to make that next doc. You got to do that live performance. You just got to get out there and earn it and show it right. and prove it like on a daily basis. And if I just decide I'm going to take a hiatus for a year, I don't think there'd be any jobs waiting for me. Maybe there would be. I don't know. But that's not how I feel.
Right.
And I'm not willing to chance it. When you've sort of conquered this business, so to speak, and now you sort of move. Now you're starting to got to go, well, I got to do heavy roles or I got to do experimental roles. And then I don't have to work every day. Like I'll just work once a year for a month if I want or not. When you go into that phase, that's sort of like you need to be in a constant like an NFL player, like an aging NFL player. So the NFL is this. It's I got to make the team mode. I better show up before practice and run patterns and see if I can get the third string quarterback to throw the ball to me so I can work on my skills. So there's like, I got to make the team mode. Then there's, I'm on the team. I have to protect my
keep
position.
Spot, right?
I've got to keep my spot mode. Then we're getting into the sunset career now. We're full 3 years in. Now you're a whole 25 and a half.
Grizzled vet.
You're 30 is a scant 5 years away. It's getting dark. The sun is setting on your career.
You can see it a lot.
Now you're 32, 33 years old, and you go, I got to work out hard in the off season because there's a bunch of young Turks coming up to try to take my spot. If you kind of get into that mode of, I'm a perennial all-star. There's always going to be position open for me on the roster. I can take a season off or a few games off and then come back and rejoin the team. You start spinning out a little bit pretty quick. Yeah. You'll start, whatever is not good for you will start creeping in. Right. There's a part of human beings that needs to be fighting for that roster spot, fighting to keep your spot, fighting off old age, just to sort of get up every day and fight. And when you don't hear from these guys for a year at a time, that's usually when it creeps in.
Interesting.
My other theory, based just on this clip, is that I think Jim is fairly contemptuous of this event particularly, and I think maybe he was contractually obligated to show up, maybe by his management or whatever it was, and he didn't want to be there. And also, he's got a few money. You know, he's like, I don't have to be here to put up with this. I'm not hiring based off this.
Yeah, and she, you know, she was pretty, she handled it well. And even at the end, she goes, because he's talking about how, you know, it's all overblown and people are vain. She's like, well, you certainly dressed up for the event. So you're probably right. Somebody was probably urging him to be there.
I hate all these fakakta icon things, people who inspire and all that kind of stuff. It's just jacking off into a ceiling fan for me. But I probably wouldn't show up then. And also, there's a transition. Aha. I'll tell you the transition. I'll tell you another transition. I'll tell you that one second. First, I'll tell you about LegalZoom. Time is money, especially when you run a business. Don't waste time on your legal needs. Use LegalZoom. Over 2 million people have used LegalZoom to start their businesses. LegalZoom services don't end there, by the way. No. Running a business comes with taxes, contracts, hiring employees, a lot of fine print. LegalZoom can provide advice and the advice you need to get you through the daily grind. These guys are, I'll put it to you this way. If you ever find yourself needing some legal help, pray it can be found at LegalZoom. Because if you got to go down to Garrigus's office, that's a long elevator ride. Say that right now. So you should try everything at LegalZoom, and if they can't help you, well, then you got bigger problems than this. LegalZoom, they're not a law firm. They work with independent attorneys licensed in all 50 states who are focused on helping you, not logging billable hours. They're the best. They're LegalZoom. Dawson.
Invest your time and money in growing your business and let LegalZoom take care of the legal stuff. For special savings, be sure to enter promo code Adam in the referral box at checkout. That's promo code Adam for special savings. Only at LegalZoom.com, LegalZoom.com.
So the way I think celebrities work is, first, there's the hungry part, like, oh my God, one day I'll be a star and everyone will know my name, but right now I'm just bussing dishes. And then there's the part where you start to become a star and it's like, it's very exciting and there's women and there's money and there's opportunities, and you find out that this guy you looked up to knows who you are. That's a big breakthrough when people you've been watching out throughout your formative years heard of you, know who you are, reach out to you, whatever it is. And then there's that part where you have all the money you need, you have all the accolades you need, and you banged all the models you need, and now you're starting to get bored, so you start reaching for something on some sort of spiritual level. Yes. Like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. But as you move into the spiritual world, you're taking the old ego with you, and so now you're just moving into the spiritual world, but you're telling everybody about it, or you're showing up on the red carpet and, like, dressing people down, whereas Gandhi would have never showed up on the red carpet, especially in that diaper. He didn't have a black one.
Fashion week.
The point is the true spirituality is not having to tell anybody that you're spiritual or trying to convert them or tell them how empty and vapid their life is. Simply
move
go
along.
Meditate over here, and who cares what you're doing? That's the true enlightenment. On the way to that, you have to make the rounds. I think he's in the making the rounds phase of that, whatever that ladder I just laid out in front of you.
Well, Miss Texas, Margana Wood, she made headlines at the Miss America pageant Sunday night by speaking her mind about the riots in Charlottesville. So during the Q&A portion of the event, Wood was asked about Trump's response to the violence, and this is when she got a little heated up. While her response drew loud cheers from the audience, she did not win the pageant. Those honors went to Miss North Dakota, Kara Mund, and I think the questions were pretty
noted
much
Klansman, Kara Mund.
pretty loaded this year. They were mostly like this. This is the clip from Morgana Wood, Miss Texas's answer.
Now the next question will go to Miss Texas. Morgana Wood, come on over.
It's a poor name.
Yeah, it really is.
Congratulations, Morgana. Please choose a judge.
Morgana Wood.
Your question will come from
Kissing Bandit.
Yeah.
Jess Cagle.
Last month, a demonstration of neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and the KKK in Charlottesville, Virginia, turned violent and a counter-protester was killed.
Yeah, let's keep it light.
The president said there was shared blame with, quote, very fine
people. Hold on a second.
I
just look forward in a world where, like, my grandkids get that, like, pull and play thing where, like, you pull the thing out and you go, let's ask Mr. Cow. But instead, he complains about slaughterhouses and factory farming.
Methane from cow.
Like, I don't want to sound like
I produce
old,
methane.
Old man Corolla, but can we just have certain, like, the little fluff of life,
yes,
the little parsley by the side? Does everything have to be? There's another one later on wanting to know about Trump and his involvement with the Russians and stuff.
As
and
I
it's
say,
like,
there's a time and place.
Yeah. I know. Look, it's a quaint little vestige of the past. Can't we just keep it that way?
No,
not
we
everything
cannot.
Needs to, like, the whole note, the reason. There's a sort of a thing. It's the reason we're nostalgic. It's the reason why we have certain. It's like you go to this place and they make the French dip sandwich, and it's as they made it and when they opened in 1939. We like that. We don't want, like, Katy Perry blaring and, like, the newfangled version.
Well, and Disneyland is supposed to be all the turn of the last century for a reason.
Right, but now this. Yeah. All right. Well, let's hear it.
Let's see what he says.
Fine people on both sides. Were there? Tell me yes or no and explain.
I think that the white supremacist issue, it was very obvious that it was a terrorist attack. And I think that President Donald Trump should have made a statement earlier addressing the fact and making sure all Americans feel safe in this country. That is the number one issue right now.
Yeah. I just love the fact that everyone has to announce everything. They have to preface everything with, let me just say, there's no room in this country for the Klan or white supremacists. Now, that being said, I'm Joe Carcione, the green grocer, and I want to tell you about halva. And this week, I'm going to tell you about persimmons as well. Like,
it's a great deal on heirloom
tomatoes. Get it. There's nobody thinks there's a room, there's place for the Klan. It's not a popular opinion that white supremacists. We get it. We know it. We're killing ourselves with this. It's stupid. It's the best thing we could do for the Klan is bring them up at the beginning of every conversation. Well, I no way endorse the Klan, and I no way endorse white supremacists. I would still like, Mom, for you to hand me that bowl of beets. Thank you very much. It's just
a lot of free press for the Klan.
It really is.
A lot of family dinners ruined.
Yep.
All right.
Well, here, this one might actually make you feel better and might ease your conscience. Specifically, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So Labradors, black labs like you have, are among people's favorite dogs. Everybody loves them. You got your Philly cheesesteak. He's right outside. But as most owners soon realize, there's a downside. They're a little too fond of their food, and they are very prone to getting fat.
Mm.
How, have you noticed him packing on the pounds pretty good?
Well, we didn't know how to feed him at the beginning. Now that we sort of figured it out how to feed him, he's stabled off
at
just morbidly obese.
Okay. So Yahoo News says that scientists have now said owners should stop automatically blaming themselves if their lab becomes a little overweight, because for many of them, it's all in the genes. They carried out research at the University of Cambridge and found a genetic variation which they believe drives Labradors and flat coat retrievers to be naturally obsessed with food. It means that when a dog begs incessantly or starts drooling at the sound of a treat bag being opened, it could be because he's genetically hungry rather than spoiled by overindulgent humans.
Well, my
Phyllis gets both.
I have a couple of thoughts. I don't really care if the dog lives 10 years and is happy or lives 12 years is on a diet the whole time. Oh. That's number one. Not interested. As a matter of fact, I'd rather somebody said, eat what you want, drink what you want, enjoy yourself. You won't see your 75th birthday or be punished every day and you'll live to 90. I might have to think about that one a little bit. Number one. Number two, especially since they have no awareness. As a kid, all I wanted was a big dog. That's all I ever wanted. And like last night, I had like Sonny just laying on top of Phil, just like kissing him and hugging him. And the fact that Sonny is 11 and Phil still has about 15 pounds on him.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in love with that fact. I love that he lays and takes up the whole bed. I love a big dog, and mainly I love it, but I love it for the kids. I just love when his head is twice as big as their head, and it's awesome. I don't know why. There's something insanely satisfying about seeing him flopped out on Natalia's bed and Natalia with like her feet on top of him using like an ottoman, you know, or the other way around. Natalia's asleep and he's like, you know, just sort of covering her. It's great. I don't know why that's so satisfying, but I love it. I may be just making up for a raped childhood that was raped, mm-hmm. raped and stripped away. But I love
it's Norman
it.
And Rockwell
I love Big Fat Phil.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, the dog and the family. And
I truly believe that your dog feels no joy from petting and only joy from being beaten on like a bongo. Because smacking him around.
I love that too. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, I got to make a note to pick up some of his Duke.
I thought you were going to say food or medicine.
No.
Like a note to self or like a sign for people?
No, a note to me.
Okay.
Like that's physical
better.
Note,
yeah.
Which was I took him for a walk. He has this pouch that's on his leash. I keep the bags in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a flaw in the pouch, which is it's not clear. It should be clear. It's fabric. And I walked out of the house. The thing's velcroed shut.
Yeah, you can't see if there's anything inside.
I got to the Duke area. Phil, Duke of La Cunada, and I opened it up and it was empty. And it wasn't really anything for me to do because I was a long ways away from home. And then when I was leaving, got into a spirited discussion about Natalia's window, which arrived a day early, and lining somebody out about where to put it and how to do it. And then I was running late, and then I took off, and then I realized Phil's Duke remains.
Oh.
And that's bad juju. So I got to go back and pick up the Duke before somebody steps into it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to make myself a
That does
just
kind of
poop on your hand, and you won't forget.
I'll just put a pee. Yeah.
It sounds like some heady poetry. But at the end, Phil's Duke remained.
It does. Now, it was a big house, and it was on the lawn part, but it was the part that was the curb next to the street and on the front side of the fence, not on the lawn mm-hmm. part. So I can excuse it, but it's temporary. I got to go get going on that. All right. I'll tell you about True Car. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. Don't let that happen to you. Go with True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. So what do? You go in, you go online, figure out what you want. Find the car you want. You lock in your price. You get your certificate, and then you go pick it up. Over 3 million cars have been sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. And you save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car. You see what other people are paying. You enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It's the best. You do what our own Chris Maxipata did over here. You go with True Car. Some features not available in all states. All right. Saturday coming up, Chicago. Coming back to you. September 23rd, Chicago Park West. I shall be there doing a couple live one-man shows. And then Friday,
October 13th and then October 14th, Friday in Minneapolis, Friday Minneapolis, 13th, 14th Nashville, Music Hall in Minneapolis, Polk Theater in Nashville, so I'll say hi, and then we'll do a live podcast October 5th and October 26th and October 12th. This is in Irvine and Bakersfield and Oxnard, so just go to amcroll.com. Find out what you need to know and check out me, Spike Ferriston. He interviewed me for his show, Spike's Car Radio Podcast. Very funny guy, very funny show. And we have a nice chit-chat on Spike's program. He's the guy who wrote the Soup Nazi episode for Seinfeld. Yep. Podcast1.com. So check that out. Go to Chassis and see what we got coming for you and Corolla drinks and all that good stuff. And until next time, Sam Corolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo. I'll take on anyone. I'm a monster in the ring. You line them up, I'll decapitate them.
Follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. I'm going to do some other things, but I don't know where that piece of paper is. Check out Gina Grad on 100.3 The Sound in LA weekday mornings. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at AdamCarolla.com. And get drunk on a boat with us. The Corolla Cruise coming up in November. Plus Mangree events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com.